It's time to put Q to bed. It's time to put this idea that Trump is our president, that he's going to be reinstated to save us. The idea that there are good guys versus bad guys in American politics is just an illusion. And Trump willfully played his part for more fame, notoriety, and business, and to help his friends of the mafia and the American Illuminati. And so in this episode, I'm going to break down how he did it and why. And I'm going to talk about his family. So Trump, before he was president, he was one of the most successful reality TV stars, and he's a billionaire. Trump is a billionaire. Okay, I think the cognitive dissonance going on with Trump, that he's actually a good guy and gives a shit about America, is mind-blowing to me. So today, I want to get into the dark side of the Trumps and open people's minds to really think about who the Trump family really is. So let's start. Hold on 1 second.
Gosh, I wonder how many people already got their feelings hurt.
So many. And okay, let's get into Trump's dad, Fred Trump. So the Trump family are descendants of the Drump family, D-R-U-M-P, of Bavaria, Germany. Now, his father, Fred, was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And when he was young, he was living in Queens, New York. And I have recovered 3 newspaper articles that cited Fred Trump, who was arrested for disorderly conduct at Klan rallies. Okay. Donald Trump has lied and claimed that this never happened, but it did in fact happen. And his father was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Another thing I found strange about Fred Trump is that he was always invited to the Al Smith charity dinners, which the presidents would host in Washington, D.C. Now, when Trump spoke at the Al Smith charity dinner, he said during his speech that he had been attending the Al Smith charity dinner since he was a child with his father. Now, if Fred Trump was just a normal guy who built buildings in New Jersey, why on earth was he invited to the Al Smith charity dinner if he was a nobody? So I find that to be very odd.
Real quick, what is that charity dinner? I'm not hip with that.
So the Al Smith charity dinner, it's basically for the American elite to get together. It's a donation. It's people speak. It's basically just the who's who of American politics.
Like a baby Bilderberg, just US, I guess.
Yeah, it's American Illuminati. It's the Columbian Order. It's Skull and Bones. It's American politics.
Okay,
so they all, so at the last Al Smith charity dinner, that was the famous speech where Trump openly bashed Hillary Clinton. And she was sitting there with some like Roman Catholic cardinal. I don't know if you guys remember that, but that was like basically all a show. And we'll get into that a little later. But one thing that I discovered about Mary Ann McLeod, which is Trump's mom, was that she was a member of the Columbian Order of New York. Now, his mother has Scottish roots and tied to Scottish Freemasonry. And Trump's Manhattan apartment, the way it's decorated, has Freemasonry all over it. And it's also decorated after Louis XIV, who was nobility.
Of course. So
anyway, the Columbian Order that Trump's mom was a member of is also known as the Columbian Illuminati. Now, in the book by David Rivera called History of the New World Order of Illuminism, he claimed that the American Illuminati was comprised of 4 major power groups, and it was American Freemasonry, Skull and Bones, Phi Beta Kappa, and the Columbian Order. Okay, the Columbian Order included the who's who of Democratic politics. It influenced and shaped the views of people since the 1800s, and it basically just degenerated into this society full of New York power, greed, and backstabbing.
Wow.
So not just anybody could attend these meetings. So right off the bat, you know, we can't pretend that Trump's parents were nobody. So you got his dad, who was in the Ku Klux Klan, and it's been recorded. And then you have his mother, ties to Scottish Freemasonry, and part of this Columbian Order. So this rags to riches story that they want us to believe that Trump's dad just was a nobody that started building skyscrapers in New Jersey. I mean, it's pretty much bullshit, right? And so it's easy to see that Donald Trump was born into this world and was destined to be on the world stage. Now, if you look at Trump's oldest brother, Fred, he died of alcoholism and he refused to join the family business. Now, ask yourself, what is so bad about real estate? You know, what was the real family business? And I don't think people actually think about that. Not to mention Fred's daughter, Mary Trump, who was Donald Trump's first cousin, came out with a book. Can't think of the name of it, but she exposed the Trump family. And if the Trumps were genuinely good people, why would anyone come out with an expose like this? Granted, she made a lot of money, but so many people were Trump supporters that she probably would have made more money had she put out a positive book about Trump. Like right. All the Trump people did not want to read this book. They bashed it. They bashed her. But in this book, she claimed that Trump was a womanizer. He made embarrassing comments about how big her boobs were at the time. I mean, this is your cousin. And the book goes into a lot of detail, and I'm going to reference this as I go on, but let's get into Donald Trump. And
real quick, I just want to touch back. Donald Trump, a womanizer? I don't see it. That's just me, though. I mean,
yeah,
I can totally appreciate a good-looking dude. That ain't him, all right? You know?
Totally out of character. Since he was young, Trump has been, and you guys know this, he's been on numerous TV shows, talk shows. And what was the question that he was always asked?
Are you going to run for president?
Mr. Trump, are you going to run for president?
I didn't realize that, but yeah, it makes sense.
Every interview. And so he would toy with them by saying no, and he would give them his political 2 cents, and he looked handsome and young and charming, and everybody liked him. And to me, this was just predictive programming at its finest. Yeah. You know, why would this random New Yorker who builds skyscrapers go on Phil Donahue? This is 1987. Who cares? Like, he was propped up for a reason.
The sleaziest shit, though. It's like construction. That's where the mob, mafia, money laundering, all that crap is. And yeah, he was balls deep in it.
100%.
Yeah, you're right. Like, that's a good point. Like, why him, right? There's tons and tons of guys who build skyscrapers or buildings and commercial real estate and stuff, but it's like he's the one, like you said, you've seen him on all these talk shows, and it was now looking back on it, it's very clear for whatever reason he was the chosen one at that time to play this role.
Absolutely. And not to mention he attended Fordham, which is a Jesuit school.
Mm-hmm.
All of Donald Trump's children attended Jesuit Georgetown University, every single one of them, except for Barron. So it'll be interesting to see what Barron does in the future. But if you fast forward to the other interviews he did as he got older, you know, he would toy with the media talking badly about the Clintons. He would plant seeds by saying, like, if I were president, I would let everybody know who was behind 9/11. And then you had the famous Obama birth certificate situation where he's planting seeds about how Obama wasn't born in America, and kind of like a design, like from the 80s, you know? So it's like, he's telling the American people who he is, what he believes. And when he became president, nothing was exposed, none of it. Okay. So now I'm going to get into the crime family, because this is really important. When Donald Trump was young, he was heavily associated with the Gambino crime family of New York. He was friends with Robert Labuddy, who was an associate of the Gambino mafia. He was also friends with Joey Sink, who was another Gambino associate. Joey Sink was a mobster, a con artist, and a felon who actually went to jail for stealing expensive art and was almost left for dead after being shot by a contract killing. But he didn't die. But you know what he did go on to do? He became one of Trump's judges in the Miss Universe pageant. Okay? That's what he did with his life. So if you go back and look at all of the judges from Miss Universe, Many of them were Gambino associates. Oh, this is God. The American mafia. This is an extension of the Black nobility, Italian mafias that came to America, came to New York, and met Donald Trump. And so in 1973, Donald Trump violated the Housing Act and engaged in illegal building activities that made it impossible for prospective tenants to purchase his property if you were Black. Okay, this was on the news. Everybody has heard this story by now. So this is the same year that Trump met Roy Cohn, his lawyer. Okay, and they filed this countersuit against the government for over $100 million. And Donald Trump settled out of court and it went away. And Ray would go on to be Trump's right-hand man to get him out of all of these shady situations up until his time as president. Okay, so Roy Cohn was the lawyer for John Gotti, Tony Salerno, and Carmine Galante, all associated with the Gambino crime family. That's how Trump met him, okay? So Trump purchased property for his casinos from the mafia hitman Salvatore Testa. And it was the mafia who built Atlantic City and laundered their criminal profits through his casinos. And the Gambinos owned SNA Concrete, who were involved in constructing Trump's buildings in Manhattan. Okay. So now let's get into the Russian mafia. There's this guy by the name of Felix Sater. Felix Sater is a Russian mobster, and he pleaded guilty to over $40 million for stock fraud and money laundering orchestrated by the Russian mafia. Now, Felix Sater was an advisor for Trump Hotels Corporation. Donald Trump hired this guy to run his corporation at one point. Now,
real quick, I just want to say, like, people are going to be like, well, he's just associated with him. What, dude, birds of a feather flock together. You're around these people for a reason. You choose to be around these people. You choose that guy to be your lawyer. It's so, don't keep an open, open mind, people.
Yes. So, well, what's crazy was Felix Sater started his career at Bear Stearns with Jeffrey Epstein.
Of course he did.
Okay. So he ended up, I know, like, you can't make this shit up.
And I'm pretty sure Bear Stearns is we don't even go down that road. Bear Stearns, well, it's a government private corp. Like, it might have been phony. It might've been completely phony, honestly.
Yeah. And it could have been, but the fact that it's like written into this narrative,
it's incredible. There,
it connects so many people. So, okay. So Felix Sater, the Russian mobster, ran Trump Hotels, started his career at Bear Stearns. And then when he left Trump Hotels, he left to manage the company Bayrock. Now, Bayrock is a private real estate investment company that specializes in luxury residences. Now, Bayrock, I want you guys to remember that name, Bayrock. Felix Sater is also a Chabad Orthodox Jew who went to the same synagogue as Jared Kushner and Ivanka. Okay, so we're going to see a lot of this Chabad Orthodox Jew stuff pop up throughout the rest of the podcast. But I want you guys to remember that, and I want you to remember Bayrock. Okay, so another business associate of Donald Trump is a guy named Tevik Arif. Now, Terev Arif is the founder of Bayrock, okay? Trump convinced Tevik Arif to move Bayrock into Trump Tower. So he did, and it's at Trump Tower where this Tevik Arif met Felix Sater. And so that's why he hired this Felix guy to manage Bayrock. Now, Tevik is one of the biggest donors to the Chabad Jewish synagogue that Jared Kushner used to go to. Years later, he was charged with running a prostitution ring of young European women, including underage girls off of Turkish yachts. So the guy that ran Bayrock was acquitted because the girls refused to testify against him. But
I wonder why.
Yeah, but to think that Donald Trump did not know about any of this is just straight up denial. Like, you've got a guy working in Trump Tower who's running a prostitution ring, but Trump didn't know about it. Like, I just have such a hard time believing
that. This great businessman that's so involved in all everything, and he knows all that's going on, but just missed that prostitution ring with little, you know, young European girls running in and out of your hotel. Just missed it.
Just totally, totally missed that one. Okay, so let's get into Jeffrey Epstein. So we know, this is where it gets really good, and we get into like Maria Farmer and all that. But we know that Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell used to frequent Mar-a-Lago a lot. Mm-hmm. We know that Trump has been photographed with both Epstein and Ghislaine a lot.
Well, they both live there, right? They both had houses there, right?
Yes, they
like almost neighbors in the same neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah, basically. And you know, Trump was on record saying that Epstein was a great guy. And when Ghislaine was arrested, he said in a press conference that he wished her well.
He did.
Now, why would anybody, especially the president of the United States, wish a human trafficker well? Like, there's no excuse for it. I don't care how much cognitive dissonance you have. Like, this is not acceptable, especially for a president. Like, it's whether it was awkward or inappropriate, like, it was just in my mind, I'm like, I can't believe this guy said that. And well, a lot of people just blew it off. Like, they explained,
yes, or it's tongue in cheek and things like that. Or that's when they're always talking in code and it's like, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
I know. I can't. It's just straight up denial. So then we have the testimony of Maria Farmer. Now, Maria Farmer is an American artist, and she was the first person to report an incident to the New York City police and the FBI about the abuse and misconduct of Jeffrey Epstein. Now, her sister Anne backed up all of her claims, and Maria Farmer was introduced to Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell through Eileen Guggenheim. Now, you've probably heard of the famous Guggenheim Museum in New York City, but the Guggenheim family are big in New York, and they are part of the Zionist Mafia. Now, Guggenheim Partners is an investment firm that manages at least $300 billion in assets. That is reported. So the Guggenheims are related to the Jewish Rothschilds through marriage with the Stuart family. Now, the House of Stuart is from Scottish Freemasonry. They're a Scottish Freemason family. The Jewish Guggenheims and the Roman Catholic Stuarts also covertly work with the Waltons of Walmart dynasty. And Arthur Stuart, the 8th Earl, is a British noble whose mother was a Guggenheim and his grandmother was a Rothschild. I mean, these families are all connected. So to think that like the Guggenheims, like it's just a lie. No, they're all connected. And so this is how Maria Farmer met Epstein, through the Guggenheims, okay? So Maria Farmer supported Virginia Guffrey and her claims that Virginia was raped by Alan Dershowitz, if we remember Alan Dershowitz.
Oh, yeah. Is always on the fucking news now, too.
Yes. Okay, so Alan Dershowitz was reported to have visited Jeffrey Epstein's New York City apartment so many times. He's on film. He's on camera coming in and out of the building. Well, let's talk about Alan Dershowitz. He was the high-profile lawyer for Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, and Donald Trump. And he defended O.J. Simpson as part of the Dream Team with Johnny Cochran and Robert Kardashian.
Yep.
Dershowitz is also a member of the same Jewish Shabbat synagogue as Jared and Ivanka. Okay. These are patterns. These people are all part of the same circle, the same. You keep seeing the same names pop up in the same synagogue in New York City. Okay. So Maria Farmer also reported, now this is where it gets crazy. Maria Farmer also reported that Trump's first wife, Ivana, was friends with Ghislaine, and Ivana helped procure underage girls for her. Okay, so this was reported by Maria Farmer.
Like, they would go to high schools and stuff like that, like bringing flowers and all that crap. I read those stories.
Yes. So if Ivana Trump was complicit in human trafficking while she was married to Donald Trump, what does that say about Donald Trump? Right?
Well, this is the second strike you just already brought up. There was the Trump Towers, and then there's this right now. Like,
yeah. And let's talk about Ivana, because she's very interesting. So Ivana Trump, interestingly enough, was a child actress who went on to become a skier in the 1972 Winter Olympics. And she met Trump when she was very young. And they were married in 1977. And together they became like this tabloid power couple. They were invited to the who's who of all events, including celebrity parties, Hollywood events, and Washington, D.C. Like together, Donald and Ivana, they met all the presidents. They were photographed meeting kings and queens and princes and princesses of foreign countries. Now, why? Like, why them? Why were they so special?
I was going to say, dude, this, what, a child actor had turned into what, skier, and that's the greatest person you want to see? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. And she was, I've been trying to trace her back to Czech nobility, but it's very hard because I don't trust Wikipedia. And so I didn't really have time to get into Ivanka's father and who he was, but I have heard, I can't say if this is true or not, but I have heard that he had ties to like prominent Czech families, and that's where she was born. So there could be something to that, that she might've been born into this situation as well. But I can't prove that right now. But in the 1980s, Donald and Ivana were introduced to the Gaetani family. Now, the Gaetani family is an Italian Roman nobility family. The Gaetanis are, or they used to be, a papal bloodline that ruled as princes and counts all over Lazio, southern Italy, where the mafia was prominent near Sicily. And Raffredo Gaetani oversaw the Gambino crime family of New York City and the Gottis. And these are the two mafia families that Trump would go on to be connected through business. Okay. So he was friends with the Gaetanis, and that is how he met the Gambinos. Okay. And through the marriage of his wife. Now, Donald and Ivana divorced in 1990, and her reason was for cruel and inhumane treatment. And she was forced to sign non-disclosure agreements, and it was illegal for her to talk about Donald Trump unless she got permission from him first and had to go over all the content that would be discussed. But she basically couldn't speak. Now, that's if you believe the newspapers. But of course, she ended up monetizing. She wrote two books. She went on Oprah. She did reality TV. And what's funny is that after her divorce to Donald, she ended up dating Raffredo Gaetani, the black nobility mafia guy mm-hmm. that introduced them. So there's pictures of Ivana and Gaetani all over the internet. You just do a search. Well, after Ivana broke up with Gaetani, she went on to marry a guy named Russano Rubicondi. Now, he's an Italian actor and connected to the Italian nobility. They got married in 2008. They were married at Mar-a-Lago. Trump's sister officiated it. And guests were Italian celebrities and nobility, the Hilton family, and Ghislaine Maxwell.
This is one big reality show that they're playing in front of us. That's all this is. Like, okay, yes. My ex-wife's going to get married at my place. And my, like, what the, who?
Yeah.
In what world does that happen?
It doesn't. And Ghislaine Maxwell was there.
Well, of
at
course.
Mar-a-Lago for this.
Probably the maid of honor.
Yeah, probably.
Oh my God.
Okay, now this is off topic, but since we're talking about weddings, I also want to say that Ghislaine Maxwell also attended Chelsea Clinton's wedding.
Yeah.
And if you think about all these people and how they're not connected, okay, not to mention that Trump and Hillary are related through their connection to King Edward III of England. And also, before we move on, I want to just say
What?
Yeah, back up. You can't just throw that out there.
Trump is in some way related to Hillary Clinton.
They share a common ancestor. I can't say how many generations it goes back, but King Edward III, they both descend from him.
I love it. I love it.
Yes. And I'm going to get into Trump's ties with Bavaria and Germany later, but that just, you cannot deny that. So they are actually related. Donald Trump has been a longtime friend of Bill Clinton. They've been photographed golfing and eating together since the early 90s. The Clintons have been to Mar-a-Lago. I mean, we're talking 30 years. Okay,
he donated to them, didn't he?
Yes. Okay, that's the other thing. He invited them to his wedding when he married Melania in 2005. He donated to the Clinton Foundation, and it was reported that it was only $100,000. But, yeah, you know, change. To him, that's chump change. Yeah. So all this talk about lock her up was just another show. It was another lie. There was no justice for the Clinton Foundation whatsoever. Okay, now speaking about Black nobility, Prince Carlo, who is the head of the Italian Royal House of Bourbon, his family were members at Mar-a-Lago. And you can actually Google Prince Carlo Mar-a-Lago and you'll see pictures of him and Trump. Now, the Italian House of Bourbon are the direct descendants of the founding families of the Jesuits, the House of Farnese. The House of Farnese built the first Jesuit church in Rome called the Gesù Church. Okay, so that's another Jesuit connection. Now, this is where it gets a little confusing, but stay with me because I'm going to tie in human trafficking. Okay, there are two houses of bourbon. Coincidentally, Trump is connected to both of them. One house of bourbon is from Italy, and the other house of bourbon is from Spain. Now, when Trump became president, the media was reporting that Trump was holding hundreds of children in these former Walmarts. I don't know if you guys remember that. This was right when he became president.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So in the 1900s, the early 1900s, there were thousands of babies who were stolen from Spanish hospitals, and they were human trafficked by Spanish priests, Spanish Jesuits, and Spanish nuns. Now, this is a true story. You can look it up. It's been reported time and time again. Thousands of babies were human trafficked under the Spanish House of Bourbon. Now, after the media reported that Trump was holding these thousands of illegal immigrant children from Mexico and Latin America, who did he meet with? He met with the Spanish House of Bourbon King Philip V. And what did they discuss? God. They discussed trafficking. Now, I find that to be very coincidental and very strange because Trump became the face of the human trafficking savior.
Oh. It's now, a slap in the face. He's the one doing all this shit. He's like, you gotta stop now. It. I got goosebumps.
No fucking way.
Now, I do not believe, I have one golden rule. I do not believe anything the media reports, the American media.
Sure.
And there is no exception, even with Trump. He was not, this human trafficking facade where he was out there saving kids is just total bullshit. Okay. Now that, again, like you got goosebumps. That was the connection that I made that I was just like blown away. Cause I'm like, wow, he really did meet with King Philip V. That was that like the first royal family that he met in his presidency. Oh, and it had to do with human trafficking. So if we move on to other cabinet members of Donald Trump, Alex Acosta was the U.S. Secretary of Labor, and he approved the plea deal with Jeffrey Epstein and then closed the investigation. Mm-hmm. Now, many of Donald Trump's supporters claim that Trump was shutting down these child trafficking networks, but the truth is he employed people who were shutting down the investigations into these networks. So they have it completely backwards. And then when you get into other cabinet members of Donald Trump, you've got the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, who ran Rothschild and Sons before he worked for Trump. You've got Paul Manafort, who's a Georgetown Jesuit, and he's been a puppet in politics since 1977. He's got ties to the mafia, the Gambinos. You got Roger Stone, a total political shill.
Oh, yeah.
Kellyanne Conway, her grandfather was Jimmy the Brute DiNatale of the Philly mob. And then you've got Stephen Miller, who is an Ashkenazi Jew, who teamed up with Steve Bannon, he was a high level up at Goldman Sachs. And together, Steve Miller and Steve Bannon orchestrated the branding and the presidency of Donald Trump. Okay. Now, Steve Bannon and Steve Miller got together years before 2016, and they created and wrote all of the future policies for Trump. And what they did was they pitched this idea to Trump back in like 2013. And Trump got on board and he was like, okay, I like this. You know, I could probably do this. And what they did was the three of them, Steve Bannon, Steve Miller, and Donald Trump, had a meeting with Christian Zionist Sheldon Adelson.
Oh.
And after this meeting, Sheldon agreed to back Trump because he thought Trump could actually win. So Sheldon Adelson was Trump's biggest donor. And Trump agreed to go along with the Christian Zionist movement. This is how politics works. Now, I made an in-depth video about Christian Zionists. For anybody that does not understand what Christian Zionism means, I would suggest going to my BitChute and listening. But basically, in a nutshell, Christian Zionists believe that when the state of Israel was established in 1947, it fulfilled Bible prophecy and sparked the end times. And so that's why there's all this, like, you have these like Joel Alsteins and these like big Christian Zionist preachers that are on TV talking about the end times. That is their deal. Okay. They believe we are living in the end times. So I don't want to get on a tangent on Christian Zionism, but that's basically what it is. So speaking of Christian Zionists, Trump had many of them in his administration, including Mike Pence, Mike Pompeo, and Betsy DeVos. Now, Betsy DeVos, her brother is Eric Prince. Now, Eric Prince and Joseph Schmitz were Roman Knights of Malta, and they both were Blackwater executives. Blackwater was involved in murdering Iraqi civilians and trafficking weapons under George W. Bush. Now, these men were indicted, and some of these men from Blackwater were actually arrested and sent to jail, but Donald Trump pardoned them in 2020.
Oh, shit. I remember that. It was a big deal. Oh, yes. My God.
So when we were all sitting around waiting for Donald Trump to pardon like a Julian Assange or you know, somebody, and Julian Assange could be a puppet. I don't know, but he ended up pardoning these guys.
And and overlooked all that because everyone was sitting there banging their fists on the table for, like you said, Julian Assange or something. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. So what's crazy is Joseph Schmitz, the other guy from Blackwater, he was the inspector general for the U.S. Department of Defense under George H.W. Bush. Gina Haspel, her maiden name is Walker, and she's a member of the Bush family. She served as the CIA director under Trump.
Yep.
And I know this is like common, but just putting it all together, there are so many Bushes in the world of American politics, banking, and
all,
media. And,
oh yeah. And all the CIA, every CIA director is that throughout the course of history is related to each other.
Yes. And so the Bushes and the Trumps are one and the same. They both derive from noble houses in Bavaria. And Trump made deals with George Prescott Bush, who was the land commissioner in Texas during his presidency. And so before we go on to Trump, I just want to do a quick overview of the Bush family.
Oh,
mm-hmm. So George H.W. Bush killed over 1 million people while he was the president. He had oversight of the CIA and the military industrial complex even after he left. Now, he was connected to DARPA, who was ran by Stephen Walker Bush. Raytheon, founded by Vannevar Bush, Northrop Grumman, whose chairman was Wesley Bush. Okay. Now I'm not going to name, I'm not going to name all of them, but there are over right now. There's
you mean all the companies that have major military contracts with the U.S. government. No way.
Imagine that.
The world. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So right now I'm not going to name them all, but there are over 15 Bush family members who are famous for politics and entertainment. And of course, many of them were in Skull and Bones, the American Illuminati.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you got the Bushes who have Skull and Bones ties, and then you have the Trumps who are connected to Freemasonry and the Columbian Order. Now, that's three of the American Illuminati groups. Okay. They're one and the same. Now, the Bush family worked with the Nazis in World War II.
Oh, yeah.
And their Union Banking Corporation seized, they were seized for trading gold with Tyson family of Nazis in Germany. Now, $2.3 trillion taxpaying dollars went missing under George H.W. Bush's presidency. Okay, the Bushes are descendants of the German House of Bush. The Bush family ruled as feudal lords in the regions of, Ravensburg. And the Bush family are also intermarried with the German-Dutch royalty house of Lippe. Prince Bernhard of Lippe started the Bilderberg Group.
I swear to God, you're making this shit up.
I know.
Oh, okay. My God.
Now, do you guys remember that quote where George H.W. Bush said that if the American people knew what they have done, they would be lynched in the street?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that, yeah.
If they knew what we have done, we would be lynched in the street. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to get off the Bushes now. So back to the Trumps. So let's talk about Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner was Trump's senior advisor and son-in-law. No conflict of interest there. So Jared founded Real Cadre LLC, which was financed by George Soros and Goldman Sachs. Okay. Kushner
here, man. This, like, you've named everybody at this point that, at least from Trump's presidency to now, that have been like these players that we're all trying to tear down and say these are the elite people that rule the world and oppress everyone. You've named them all so far. Like, there's nowhere to hide now.
Well, and real quick too, people are going to be like, well, yeah, rich people get together and all that, but you're like tying like the families, and we know, I mean, if you ever listen to Amy, bloodlines and family ties mean everything to these people.
Yes. And that's like, this is where you got to stop with the whole like pick and choose. Like, no, but he's like the white hat within. So there's like, no, just no, he's not. He's not the one guy in the middle of all this with all that we've walked through so far, and we still have more to go, but he's not the one guy that was just like, I'm here to end all this. Like, no.
They're to get paid, man.
Just there to play the role. That's
yes.
So sorry, back to Jared Kushner and LLC funded by George Soros.
Yeah. And that was great. And it's all true. So Kushner's father, Charles Kushner, was arrested for tax evasion and witness tampering. Okay. Charles Kushner is good friends with the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. Now, Jared Kushner, I cannot remember if Jared Kushner's godfather was Netanyahu or if Jared Kushner just had a relationship with Netanyahu when he was a child. I don't want to say.
Didn't he like sleep at his house and all that
stuff? Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. I didn't go down the rabbit hole with that, but excuse me. So Charles Kushner, Jared's father, blackmailed his brother-in-law, hired a prostitute to seduce him, and then sent the tape to his sister right before a family engagement party. Okay. Charles Kushner purchased the 666 Fifth Avenue skyscraper for $1.8 billion. Charles Kushner is a scumbag. Okay. And I know this is old news, but remember when we were all waiting to see who Trump was going to pardon? He pardoned Charles Kushner. He was another person that he pardoned. Now, why would Trump pardon Charles Kushner over a Julian Assange? And then he's pardoning the Blackwater guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. Makes no sense. Makes no
sense.
Well, it
does. Well, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
it makes perfect sense for them.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Jared Kushner's companies, he has many, were financed by Apollo Global Management, which also at one time owned Blackwater, Eric Prince's company, who monopolized government weapons industry. Okay, these Zionists are all connected. Not to mention Trump's attorney generals were Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr. Jeff Sessions, arguably the biggest moron in the world. Bill Barr, his father, Bill Barr's father, Donald, hired Jeffrey Epstein to be a teacher at the Dalton School. Mm-hmm. He wrote a science fiction book called Space Relations, which is about raping teenage girls.
What the fuck?
Yeah, everyone knows that. I mean, that's on my list of things to do, you know, write a book about rape of teenage girls. Duh.
which is, yeah, which isn't weird at all. And then you have John Kelly, who was the White House chief of staff, was a Georgetown Jesuit. Then you had Jim Mattis, who had all these bizarre connections to Department of Defense and sat on the board of Theranos. Theranos is a Silicon Valley startup, which is basically a blockchain digital health company. Okay. And so he was trying to implement all these digital health companies, you know, while everything else was going on the world stage, there was a lot of blockchain digital health stuff going on behind the scenes in Trump's presidency that is not reported. It's not talked.
And that's funny with all the shit that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the point is, Trump's administration was full of mafioso, Christian Zionists, Jews, and Jesuit-educated people, including himself. So they're all one and the same. You know, they want to be put into these different labeled groups, but they are one and the same. It's more division. It's more people to be like, for you and me to be like, well, it's not the Jews, it's the Christian Zionists. It's not the Jews, it's the Jesuits. They are all working together, in my opinion. So now let's get into Trump's bloodline. This is the interesting. So Trump's bloodline is from Bavaria, Germany. And what do we think of when we hear the word Bavaria? The Bavarian Illuminati. Mm-hmm. Now, the House of Wittelsbach are the royal house of Bavaria, and they ruled when the Bavarian Illuminati was established by Jesuit Adam Weishaupt in 1776. Now, Marcus Goldman.
Wait, what year was it established?
1776.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, that's all.
Yeah. Right? I know. Okay, so Marcus Goldman and Samuel Sachs, the founders of Goldman Sachs, were from Bavaria. Goldman Sachs has nearly $900 billion in assets. And what's interesting is that Trump also appointed many high-level Goldman Sachs employees in his administration, including Steve Mnuchin, Gary Cohn, Dina Powell, Steve Bannon. The current CEO of Goldman Sachs is David Solomon. Now, he also worked at Bear Stearns with Jeffrey Epstein and Felix Sater, the Russian mafia. The mobster, okay? Former Goldman Sachs employee Michael Daffy bought Jeffrey Epstein's $51 million mansion in New York City after he was arrested. Okay.
No, he just saw, you know, his friend put out a Facebook post, you know, hey, I'm selling my place. You know, he's like, I'll pick it up for you. Don't worry, you know.
All connected, okay?
Yep.
So all let's get connected. In.
Oh, yeah. This is... It's just so funny too, because you can't explain this away, because Joe Biden's doing the same thing right now. It's all BlackRock right now. All the BlackRock guys.
Oh,
right
yeah.
I mean, it's the same shit. So again, you can't sit here and be like, no, man, Donald Trump's the good guy. He's here to save us, bro.
Yeah.
No, it's done. I'm done.
Oh, I'm going to get into BlackRock too.
Yes.
So that's at the very end, but I want to get into Ivanka. Ivanka Trump is interesting because she attended boarding schools when she was very young, and boarding school is very typical among royals and American elite. These children are separated from their parents during the most crucial developmental periods in their life. You could almost argue that it's part of like this monarch mind control program where they're completely isolated and separated and physically abused. And, you know, Paris Hilton actually came out and talked about her experience at this crazy boarding school. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole other thing. But anyway, the entire Trump family attended boarding schools, including Donald Trump. Well, in college, Ivanka dated Greg Hirsch, an employee at Bear Stearns. She also dated Nat Rothschild. Now, Nat Rothschild was married to socialite Annabelle Nielsen. Annabelle Nielsen came out and was talking all this crazy stuff about conspiracies with the Rothschilds. She was found dead hanging from a doorknob in 2018, just 3 weeks after Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. They all died the same way.
Yeah, the doorknob thing. Yeah.
The doorknob thing. And so why was Annabelle Nielsen whacked?
It's the same. Yeah, it's the same. This is where this. Yeah. What's the singer? the was it the guy from Linkin Park? He died the same way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Chris Cornell. And,
yeah, Chris Cornell, and what was his name? I can't remember his name from Linkin Park.
Chester. Like the guy,
Chester. That yeah, they're like, oh, it's John Podesta's son, or whatever.
And he looks just like him. He
creepily
looks just like him.
But yeah, they all died from suicide, hung themselves from a doorknob.
Yes, and it was all around the same time.
Is now, that even possible?
I mean, some would argue it is, but I mean, how do you even, I guess anything's possible.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if they're like, what is it, autoerotic asphyxiation, you always, always have a spotter, guys. All right, that's a PSA for Ken, all right?
Well, Ken, I know your favorite is the old two shot to the back of the head suicide.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's how I want to go out. Bam, bam.
Quick, Kenny's got those quick fingers.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. I know, it's very strange that they all died and they were all coming out and talking about the same thing. Well, human trafficking, Pizzagate.
The one that, and then this, her husband came out with like a rat mask on or something like that.
Kate Spade.
What was that all about, man? Because he's a rat? Is that what it is?
Well, that was very strange. And I remember reading that Kate Spade had connections to the Clinton Foundation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so that was like her little connection. That's the red flag for me, was I found out the Kate Spade Foundation was connected to Clinton Foundation, and she ended up dying. And then her husband came out in that weird Rescuers Disney mask.
Rescuers Down Under. What's that about? Trafficking kids.
What the?
Yeah. Oh, isn't that crazy?
I mean, I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
That's literally what it is. He gets kidnapped. He's trying. You gotta go find him. Yeah, gotta find Fifer, dude. God. That was one of my favorite movies growing up, and I did not put the connections together until now.
Oh my God.
Okay, that just blew my mind. Back to Ivanka. That was awesome. Thank you for that addition. So Ivanka also attended Georgetown Jesuit, and after she left college, she started a fashion and jewelry line called Ivanka Trump Jewelry, which was located in Trump Tower. And she scored herself shelf life at Hudson Bay and Macy's. Now, Hudson Bay and Macy's founders are from Bavaria. Okay. Ivanka's childhood best friend, her name was Lysandra Ostrom, wrote this fascinating and I found to be hilarious article about Ivanka, claiming that she was addicted to McDonald's cheeseburgers, that she cursed constantly, that she was a Jew lover who hated poor people. Well, that's basically in a nutshell Ivanka.
Jesus.
And she ended up marrying Jared Kushner, and at their wedding Charles Kushner gave a speech saying that the only thing that made Ivanka worthy was her conforming to Judaism. Now, that's like pretty condescending coming from a scumbag like Kushner. But that's what he said at the wedding. Now, Donald Trump Jr., also Jesuit educated, is now dating Kimberly Guilfoyle, who is divorced from Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. She was married to that psychopath.
He looks like American Psycho.
He looks like American. Yes.
What in the fuck?
Okay, so Kimberly Guilfoyle and Don have been friends for a very long time. Like, their families were friends. And this was even back when she was married to Gavin Newsom. Now, to think that these people were ever enemies is mind-blowing. Now, Don Jr. went on to manage a lot of the Trump companies after college. And then he went on to be on The Apprentice reality show with Ivanka and Eric. Now, I went through the Trump organization, okay? And I realized that he has over 15 Ashkenazi Jews working for him in the highest levels of positions.
That's all Illuminati. This is all Illuminati stuff.
Yes.
It's all Freemasonry.
So to say that Donald Trump is not involved with the Zionists is delusional. There's no denying that he
involved.
Is
a Zionist.
He is. Yes, he is. And now let's get into the Middle East. This is where it gets really complicated. So Trump and Kushner met with the Saudis. Now, when they were in Saudi Arabia, now this is where it got very convoluted, because you have people like Liz Crokin and the QAnon people touting this trip as the most important trip for Trump as president in a good light. This was anything but that, and I'm going to explain why. So when he went to meet with the Saudis, him and Kushner actually, in reality, sold them hundreds of millions of dollars worth of missiles. And
it was $100 billion or something like that.
Yes. Wasn't there something like that? Yes. And it was after that the Saudis started bombing Yemen.
Mm.
Okay.
That genocide's happening. That's right.
And there's still turmoil going on with that. And so it was after this meeting where the Saudis got the weapons, then they agreed to invest $40 million into Blackstone. Okay. Blackstone was founded by Pete Peterson and Stephen Schwarzman. And they met, these two, Pete and Stephen, met while they were working for the Lehman Brothers. The Lehman Brothers owned one of the biggest investment companies in America, and they were Jews from Bavaria.
It's like, okay.
Okay, so now in 2009, Blackstone acquired Anheuser-Busch Company, the beer company. Now, why would Blackstone want to acquire a beer company? Because these families are all connected and monopoly is the name of the game. They all control the same thing.
This shit was set up too, and people need to go do this bit of research on World War II. This shit was set up at the end of World War II, and you're seeing it all continue to play out today. All those firms like Bayer, the one Anheuser-Busch,
yes,
Flag, and all of them were made to set up like the Germans took a dive, they lost the war, however you want to say it. This was all set up all the way back through then.
Yes, absolutely. And so Stephen Schwarzman, the founder of BlackRock, he was also the chairman of Donald Trump's policy forum during his presidency. This is bribe and fraud in plain sight. And
yeah, I was going to say, it's not even bribe or fraud. It's like he's handing him the cash and like, yep.
Yes.
It's politics.
These are just facts. These are facts. And another fact about Schwarzman is that he has donated, this is public information, Stephen Schwarzman has donated over $100 million of his own personal money to organizations that are affiliated with the Chinese Communist Party. Okay, so now I'm going to tie in China. Let's talk about China and what this has to do with the world stage.
This is so interesting, though, because now we're making the German connection to China, and you know what we talked about the other day, so it's all really starting to come together.
Yes.
This and is fucking weird, guys. Like I'm just saying, this is really fucking weird.
It's very fucking weird and it's very fucking confusing. And so, okay, so let's get into it. So something else that's really weird that happened during the presidency of Donald Trump was in 2020 when BlackRock took over the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
Okay. Now, one of the founders of BlackRock is Larry Fink. Larry Fink is a self-proclaimed globalist. Okay, get this. He is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a member of Bilderberg, and he's a contributor to the World Economic Forum.
Yep. Checks all the boxes.
Yep.
Yes. So Larry Fink spoke out in 2018, and you can actually watch this video. I was going to tweet about it, but I was doing this thread and I got distracted and I didn't. But if you just Google Larry Fink is a globalist, you can watch this video. But in a nutshell, this is what he basically said. He said in 2018 that the United States is in debt to China for over $1 trillion, which I believe it's probably way more than that. But 40% of our treasuries are owned by China and other foreigners. Who are these other foreigners? I believe it's these royal bloodlines. So these royal bloodlines in China, like who else? The Nazis, the Germans, these people in these foreign countries own us, which I talked about in our other podcast that I did with you guys. We are 100% controlled and owned.
Yeah, those are the people that own the Federal Reserve Bank. Right now, it's just all the transactions are being done by BlackRock, which connected all the way back.
Yes. So Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, wrote an open letter about sustainability being a core goal for BlackRock. So these are the people, like you said, that are now controlling the Federal Reserve, the mortgages, the housing market. And now we have seen it gone completely mad in 2021 with all these evictions and properties, and now landlords are getting screwed over. And I haven't really, you know, dove into that a whole lot, but I know where it's coming from.
Okay. Well, this is part of the wealth. They're widening the wealth gap, right? So all the assets they own, that's what inflation does, is the assets they own continue to get capital appreciation, while then for us, middle class, lower class, anyone, it's just cheaper for cost of living, right? So yeah, you're struggling to survive, but their portfolios and bank accounts and everything are shooting upwards. And this is it. This is their great reset for everything you've talked about.
Yes, exactly. And now this makes BlackRock the first global asset manager company to get consent from China to do these operations. Now, this poses a very interesting question. Does China really own America through debt? Or is China a smokescreen for the globalists to take control of the world through Agenda 2030 and the United Nations?
That's it. That is exactly it. And I've been saying this, and people are like, no, it's the smokescreen, because if it's not China, it's Russia. It's always somebody else. It is the smokescreen. You nailed it. You're spot on.
So going off that, and this is where I'm going to explain to all the Trump people why China was Trump's boogeyman. Okay. So it makes this very confusing for like people to understand Trump supporters, is that when we saw Trump on the world stage, he was always attacking China. Okay. From the beginning,
the China virus.
Yes. Okay.
Dude, this is the book he created. Yep. This is them. They're vilifying China, making them the boogeyman. This is it. The smokescreen. Yep.
This is it. Now we're going to tie in. Damn. Okay. Now this gets really interesting, because do you guys remember when Trump wanted to buy Greenland?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
Why did Trump want to buy Greenland? The reason why Trump wanted to buy Greenland was because Greenland, according to Trump, held the key to controlling China. That's what was being reported. Okay. So the reason is Trump on the global stage needed to be loved by other countries, not just America. So all of this was being reported that Trump was coming into Greenland and trying to take the power away from China, because in 2012, the Chinese Ministry of Land went to Greenland. Between the years of 2014 and 2018, China established presence in Greenland, and they launched a satellite station using the Beidou navigational system. Now, this was unknown to Greenland authorities. China snuck in and did this. Now, this is a strange story. Now, this satellite system in Greenland brings in over $31 billion annually for the Chinese aerospace programs and defense corporation.
Yeah.
Now, we know for a fact that China is on a social credit system. Uh-huh. We know that they use Skynet, which tracks all of their citizens. Uh-huh. And we know that through Agenda 2030, this is what the CIA and the globalists want in America. Now, when you look on the map where Greenland is, these satellites can oversee America.
That's
now,
what I was going to, yeah.
Okay, so before I continue, I want to go over all of the things that Trump did that were in fact great for America. I'm just going to list them out really fast and get to my point. Okay. Number one, he made historic tax cuts. Unemployment was the lowest it had ever been in history. He gave children opportunities to attend charter and private schools. He started the border wall. He withdrew from the Paris Climate Accord. He took credit for defeating ISIS. Okay. The other one, he talked about the unfairness of NATO contributions. He withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal. And the last one, number nine, he renegotiated trade agreements with Mexico and China. Okay. Now, I just listed nine
things.
I'd
say the Paris Climate Accord, too. I'll give him that one. Getting out of that.
She did.
Yeah.
Oh, I did. My bad.
Yes. No, but so these are nine things that I think Trump did that were actually beneficial for America. Now, Trump's platform and brand was pro-America. Now, it was a significant contrast following the Obama presidency. But if you Google the accomplishments of any president, you'll get staggering results. For example, if you Google, what did Obama do? Google will give you 50 to 60 of his greatest accomplishments. You'll even get the greatest accomplishments of Woodrow Wilson. Okay, if you get my point. These people, they will tell you any president did good things. Okay. You cannot deny that Agenda 2030 does not exist. And this has been planned and executed through executive orders since the presidency of John F. Kennedy. Now, FEMA, now this is really important. FEMA was established by Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski. Zbigniew Brzezinski started the Trilateral Commission with David Rockefeller and wrote books about the technocracy and the dystopian future of America. This was back in the 1970s. Jeffrey Epstein was also a member of the Trilateral Commission. Okay, these are eugenicists. These people want to depopulate. It was also Brzezinski who pushed Jimmy Carter to start engaging in China. And we know that the Rockefellers have had this prominent relationship with China because the Rockefellers sold oil to China. For over a century, the Rockefellers have been selling oil to China. Now, the Rockefellers and Brzezinski were very interested in Big Brother surveillance. And China was the first country to roll it out with the social credit system and Skynet. Now, if we go back in history, we know that Tavistock agents tried to sell FEMA to John F. Kennedy, and John F. Kennedy did not want to install FEMA. We know that the Club of Rome played a huge part in the Cuban Missile Crisis. And we know that JFK was murdered after like a year and a half of being president. Like, he did not play their game and he was gone. Now, in 1972, President Nixon signed Executive Order 11490. Now, this executive order might arguably be one of the most important executive orders that was ever passed, and I don't think anybody knows about it. But this executive order says that the government can and will suspend the Constitution for up to 5 years during a declared national emergency or pandemic. Now, while Jimmy Carter was president, he took these 23 executive orders that were signed by Nixon and gave power to FEMA. So Jimmy Carter basically finished what JFK never wanted to start. Okay. Then in 1988, Ronald Reagan signed into law the Stafford Act, which gave more power to FEMA. George H.W. Bush signed an executive order which gave FEMA the right to divide America into 10 federal regions. Now, if you Google FEMA 10 federal regions, you can see the map and how we are split up into 10 regions for these FEMA camps, okay? Now, in 1993, Bill Clinton signed Executive Order 12852. Okay, this was called the President's Council on Sustainable Development. This order recognizes that the United Nations becomes the law of the land. It suspends our constitution during a pandemic and gives all control to the United Nations.
Yeah, because the people we voted for, right? You know,
motherfucker. Right.
So this is also the reason why, since 1993, the United Nations has dictated where our military troops go, where our military bases are. Okay, and what's crazy is if you go back and read this executive order, again, it's 12852. They literally call it Agenda 21 in the executive order. This is not conspiracy. Okay, it is called Agenda 21 executive order. Okay, and then Obama signed another executive order that has to do with the Stafford Act, which basically pushed what Reagan had started. So every president since after Kennedy has been pushing Agenda 2030 forward slowly, but not obvious to the American people. And because we were all distracted by these wars and other traumas, nobody paid attention to Agenda 2030, even though they talked about it, but nobody understood it at the time. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. Okay, so fast forward to March 13th, 2020. Trump declares the country in a state of emergency, pandemic, and we've never been the same.
And never will be.
And never will be. And, you know, I just, before I wrap this up, like in regards to Trump, I just want to ask people who still support him, you know, why was there no justice for human trafficking? Why were the Clintons not exposed? Where's Ghislaine? We're supposed to believe Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. What about Pizzagate? The Mueller report, John Durham, Bill Barr, all these lies, okay? These lies pushed on us. There's no justice.
He literally
no justice.
Blue-balling all his big fans, like, oh, it's coming. It's coming. Just wait. It's perfect timing. It's right there. And then nothing happens, man.
It was, he became president at the right time to push all of this. And it's my belief that, you know, if you're the president of the United States, you know, in the minds of most people that actually believe that the president is like a genuinely legit person who has power to do whatever they want, they don't. They are chosen, it's orchestrated, it's designed. And Trump, who claimed to be this, you know, patriot, if he was the patriot he claimed to be, he would have never let this happen to our country. People don't understand. We are living under martial law. It's been 18 months. And, you know, there's going to be Trump people that come out and say, oh, well, you know, they stole the election and the January 6th. It's, well, that's it's even such crazier, bullshit.
Even like, crazier now when you tell people, like, no, we're under martial law. This isn't normal. They're like, no, what do you mean? You can still go do this. You can do that. They've normalized all this shit for a lot of people that they don't see the bull crap that we have to deal with every freaking day. It's everyone just the cognitive dissonance. They're like, no, I can go to the bar now. I can go to the grocery store and I don't have to wear a mask. It's all good. We're back to normal now. And it's not even close back to normal, man.
Oh, and not to mention Operation Warp Speed, which got this vaccine going. And then, you know, there's so much
trillions and trillions of dollars going off to those people. So he's just paying them all off, man.
Yeah. And there's so much confusion with the vaccine and what it's actually doing. And then there's connections to blockchain technology and, you know, digital health economics. And there's just so much like this web goes so deep that, I mean, I get overwhelmed talking about it and I feel like I have a good understanding of what's going on behind the scenes, but you know, you can't just have a conversation like this with anybody. You know, they still believe in right versus left, which you got, once you break that, then there's some breaking in and you can say like, okay, well now that you have gotten past the right versus left, now we can have a real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the sad thing is so many people still believe that there is such thing as right versus left.
It's that team belief, man. They're on that. That's their team. Yeah. And it's hard to let go, man. I mean, anyone that's not playing sports, you know, it's hard to like just leave your team. That's their team. And especially their whole lives, they've been told, like, say you're growing up blue collar Democrats. These are the guys for us. These are the ones that want to help you. These are working man's people when all these guys are billionaires and shit. Like,
it's
just a big lie.
It is. And I hope that I laid out evidence today to show that Trump is in it. I mean, I don't know what else I can say at this point.
You should show him your dartboard with all the lines and strings and pins going all over the place.
Yeah.
Can we talk about what is the Agenda 2030? What is the crux, the main goal of that? Is that to live in that dystopia? Is this like the social credit scores here in America and everything like that?
Yeah. I mean, basically it's it was created by the United Nations. And they want total control over what they say, what they claim. Yeah, it's basically the one world government. It was, I think the goals were written like around 2015. But they basically want to take over what they say, poverty, good health and well-being. They talk about gender equality, clean water. I mean, it sounds great on paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the name of turning, in my opinion, crashing the world economy, putting us all onto the blockchain.
We're there.
Under a one world currency, a one world feudal system.
There's just going to be people like us that are wildlings living outside the actual towns, and there's people living in cities and shit.
Yeah. And, you know, there's ties into, like, again, this is conspiracy and I don't know much about it, but, you know, the 5G stuff. And I don't really want to put it out there that I don't really understand the whole 5G stuff. But that's a part of it. And that kind of has to do with what China was doing in Greenland.
Well, that,
and with their satellites.
Yeah. Cause I wanted to talk about that for a second more too, because I wanted to make sure I have it right. So China essentially snuck the satellite system into Greenland. They have it up and running.
Yes. So they went,
but what are they monitoring with this? Cause that is, so it's Skynet that they have in Greenland, right? It's the same thing that they use over on their own people, right?
Yes, it's through the Chinese aerospace program and their defense corporations. Okay, so again, if you want to believe that China and America are one and the same, when you talk about defense, who do we think of when we think of American defense? DARPA. Okay, DARPA is our defense. That's what they claim. So when you know about DARPA and what they're doing, it's just basically one and the same. So if China has these, you know, navigational satellite systems in Greenland, and they've been there since 2014. You know, and Trump had this major interest in going to Greenland and understanding what they were doing. You know, why?
That's, yeah, why?
Like, why? And it was vaguely reported. And I want to know why. And I don't have all the answers. I'm just researching and putting all this stuff together, because I'm like, well, why did Trump want to buy Greenland? Well, what's going on in Greenland?
There's satellites.
I don't know.
Why do they have to be in Greenland, though?
Isn't there don't the lizard people live under Greenland? And isn't that where the CIA headquarters is?
That's where Epstein's at.
Yeah. It's so interesting, because this is where you have to start. If you can get to the point where you're like, China's smoke and mirrors, they're not the boogeyman they're portrayed to be. They're actually like, it's all part of the same thing. Mm-hmm. The Skynet thing is just so interesting to me, because if you can get all past all that, that rules out the fact that it's there for like military defense, because at that point you're like, nobody's going to attack anyone because they're all on the same side. So you have to start to think, why is it there then?
Yeah. And something really interesting that I just found out yesterday, my brother's girlfriend works for Unity Point. Now, Unity Point is a hospital chain that's located in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois. Now, my brother's girlfriend told me that they have their administrative team that are working on a social credit system for doctors that's going to be rolled out in 2030. And she told me that by 2030, all the doctors in the Unity Point health chain are going to be paid a salary based on reviews from their clients and the social credit system that they're implementing right now.
That's so, how this is going to start. It's going to start with work. Then it's government's going to do it.
It's already started. This is the whole thing with the masks and telling your neighbor and all this. This has been being trickled in since
this
shit started. What did you say? March 13th, 2020?
State of emergency.
State of emergency, yeah. And it's just going to get, it's either going to get worse, or America is eventually just, something's got to give. Something's got
to
give.
And this is where I start to wonder, right? Because I always say, like, the whole one world government, like, as part of Agenda 30 and the NWO, the New World Order, all that. To me, like, I go back and forth on this, but I'm like, that in and of itself is just smoke and mirrors, because really we just live in this now already, right? Like, and before COVID stuff, don't put that aside. That's the world we live in, right? Like it is like this illusion of freedom that we have. You are bound and have to live by and do certain things if you want to. But it all brings us back to the same place, right? How do you get out of it? I guess you just have to, you don't participate in it anymore. And it doesn't matter how bad it is inside the system or matrix, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Yeah.
But it all comes back to the same thing. The only way to get out of it is to get out of it, I guess, right?
Yeah. And they make it so hard to really get out. And, you know, this guy on my Twitter made a really great point the other day. He had said, you know, you want to talk about Mark of the Beast and all that, but this guy named Frank GH, shout out to you. He said the social security number was really when it started. He's like, try to do anything without a social security number.
Right.
Try to get married, get a driver's license, work, like any, you need your social security number to do anything. And then that ties into the straw man theory. And once you sign your child's birth certificate, they become a ward of the state. I mean,
and that all,
right there.
Correct. And all that is what keeps us bound to everything that you've just laid out that they're trying to do with FEMA camps. And if they were to make right. 10 new federal regions and all these things, like, you're bound to it then because you did that, because you have that social security number and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like an inmate number. That's all.
Basically. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Basically it is. I mean, we are all born into it. We are a number on Wall Street. Yeah. I mean, I know there's ways around it. Like, I know there's people that live off grid and they have been able to sustain living by doing that, but they've also had problems like with buying land, you know, like all the land is owned. So it's like, even if you have like land, own it.
Yeah. Well, and what's also crazy is you can buy the land, but a lot, like, I've been looking around here in Ohio, you can buy, there's land available, but all the mineral rights, everything that's under it, you can't get those with it. Like, you can't get the water, the gas, any of it. It's owned by the corporations.
They resources.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Resources. Like, we don't own shit.
We talked about this before I hit the record button, but I talk about the conspiracy world, and you look around, I said it, I'm like, you know, everybody, right? Like, everybody knows everybody. Like, there's no one hiding in the woods. If they are, we find them and someone gets them on their show. Like, everyone's out there. And then when you go through Donald Trump and you go through all these names and these corporations and these families, it's like, I don't think the world is as big as we think it is. I really do not, because all these people are connected. I mean, fuck, if Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are related by blood, how far apart can everyone else be?
Yeah.
Right? So it's really weird, especially when you look at these population statistics, how it took us like a million years to get to 1 billion in population. And then in the last 100,000 years, we've gotten up to 8 billion people. I'm like, this is all just bullshit to make you feel like you're insignificant, because I really, truly don't think. And I think this is all the bullshit too with China, when they're like, there's a bazillion people over there. And I'm like, how do we know that? Right.
Yeah.
Think of like Skynet itself now, just the infrastructure to build all that. And I know what China's doing over there, but a lot of it just doesn't make sense, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. All these elites are related. You can name all these people now, and not just name them, prove how they're related and how they work together. I'm just like, this is it's a large movie. It's scripted. It's a play. It's just so weird to me. It's so weird. It's so strange.
My biggest, I think, aha moment, going off of what you just said, was when I discovered that the Rockefellers sold oil to China. I'm like, there you go. Like, there's the missing puzzle piece. That's what connects, because the Rockefellers were the first billionaires on the planet. Well, according to records, I mean, if you believe that, I'm sure there are people
in the world
that we don't know that have trillions and trillions of dollars, but the people that we are allowed to know about and research, the Rockefellers, they were the first billionaires on the planet and did the first oil business in China. So to me, it's like, there you go.
Well, and where's like, what's the research on these Chinese bloodlines? Like, how does that start? I think we'd learn a lot more about that, like how that starts to tie into, because look, we can go through all these royal bloodlines from Europe and Germany and through the Middle East even, and everything that's happened in North America and everything. But I'm just like, where does the Rockefeller piece with the oil to China is a big one, but I'm like, there's got to be more, right?
Oh, well, that's another interesting piece that I actually wasn't going to go into, but I have a theory. This is kind of my own theory, just based on my own research, is that, well, obviously everybody that follows my work knows that I believe in the Khazarians. I believe that the Khazarians, who are the fake Jews, and this is another part of my research that I have not talked about publicly, but I have discovered that the Khazarians invaded Tartaria, which at the time is where the Chinese Mongols lived. And the Khazarians were actually defeated by the Mongols. Now, the Great Wall of China was put up to keep these types of nomadic tribes out. So it makes sense that the Chinese would put up the Great Wall of China. So then what I believe is that the Khazarians, they were defeated and they went west and they teamed up with the European royals, which became the Black Nobility. And we are still in this battle today. So if you go back in history farther, there's a guy named Batu Khan, who was the grandson of Genghis Khan. He led Tartar battalions, the Tartar Mongol battalions in the 1200s. If you believe history, if you believe this is a real story, in the 1200s, Batu Khan demanded that Frederick II, who was the Holy Roman Emperor, he demanded him to dethrone himself and declared war against the Holy Roman Empire. But the law of Lhasa stopped him. Now, there are many books and stories that have been written about the Chinese versus the Holy Roman Empire, which I believe has been overlooked and forgotten over time. And another strange connection is that I learned that Jesuit missionaries who went to China replaced the maps of the Chinese Tartary areas with European geography in the early 18th century. Now, this is according to the book, The Limits of Tartary by M. Eliot, and the invasion of the Eastern Tartars and the consolidation of the Chinese Qing dynasty in the 1600s was totally forgotten about. And this was documented by the Jesuits, but here's the kicker, it was written in Latin. And I believe there's a reason why we are not taught Latin, because we can't read it. And all of our history is in Latin. And these Chinese historians have neglected all of this history because it's in Latin. And that's a fact. You know, why are we not taught Latin? And you know, what's interesting is they still teach Latin in Jesuit schools. There it is. Jesuits can read Latin. I mean, we aren't taught Latin. I mean, maybe some schools. I can't say none of them teach Latin anymore, but it's all fascinating, right?
And it's all the same story, though. Whether that I do believe that's the story I've come to know that about what happened with the Tartarians, but I don't think it's all you're seeing there is what you're seeing now, and it's just it's their great reset. That's just their the world how
rewriting
they want
history,
it.
Right. Yeah, rewriting history,
and you're seeing it. It's playing out now for anyone that's paying attention. You're seeing that happen,
right?
Right. I know. It just stops you dead in your tracks because you're like, really? It's just like these people do run the world. Then,
you know, you say it's crazy and everything like that, but it kind of makes sense the way things are. You know what I mean? It really puts everything together. Like the puzzle pieces are all coming together. You're like, this is the picture that's painted, and this is why things go the way they are. That's not confusing anymore. It's like, no, this is the way it is. They're running the world. They're dictating shit. And then we're playing games with us thinking that we have any control over what the hell goes on.
Maybe that's the lesson we're all supposed to learn here on Earth then, right? Is that fuck that shit. It doesn't matter. Like if those rich, power hungry, greedy people want to control the world, just let them, man. It's your world to make whatever you want inside of that or outside of that, I guess. You don't have to be inside of that.
Right.
And that's the challenge, right? We sit here and say how it's hard, even like you just said, Amy, it's hard even to buy the land and do the thing, even if you want to get out of it. Right. But like at the end of the day, those are just excuses that we make. Right. There's people that have done it. People that still do it. We just don't hear all their stories because they're off the grid hiding away from people like us. Cause they don't want to fucking come on the podcast and
exactly.
talk. They don't want to put themselves in front of technology.
Yeah. And God bless them for that because
there's
days. I know I told you guys this, I have days where just text you and be like, I hate social media. I want to get off. And it's just like, there's days I'm just like, why am I doing this? Why am I staying on it? But
we feel it too. I know we talk about it all the time. You and me, and I know Ken, you and Amy talk about it, but I mean, Ken and I just took like 2 months off of doing the podcast because it wears on you. And I mean, we just flat out needed a break. And I know we still kept our social media stuff going, but I've really stepped away from engaging with a lot of people because, look, the more I learn, we just talked about this again before we hit the record button. A lot of these people that are out there causing, like, make social media toxic aren't even real people. They're bots. It's AI and stuff. So then you start to think, like, what the hell are you doing driving yourself nuts talking to a computer? And even look,
or even a stranger,
exactly.
Some guy you're never
exactly.
Never
even if it is a real person on the yes, and now you're again back to like you're participating in this toxic Luciferian event of like arguing with stranger, and it's all hate. It's all just hate and negativity. So I'm just like, I got to get away from this. And now all of this with the blockchain, you mentioned the 5G and what happens on the internet. It just like our last episode was with Harold. It makes me really like, this is just some weird Luciferian technosphere dimension that we're like, we've chose to put ourselves in.
Right.
You can get out of it, but we've chose to be here. But it all brings me back to like, that's part of the lesson, I think, right? Is you have to recognize it and then you decide, right? Am I just going to live within the construct that I've put myself into, or am I going to just check out of all this? So,
yeah,
it's fucking wild though. This is so, it's weird, but it's really cool too. Like this was one of a really fascinating discussion because for a long time, I mean, I bought it all right. I thought Trump, like I was on the Q train, did all that, mm-hmm. thought Trump was the guy, did all that. That's like really what got me into, you can say, the conspiracy, like, oh, wow, yeah, this is all there. And then my realization came with everything you said, where I was like, wait a minute, nothing's happening, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, for all the people that say, oh, well, the election was rigged, fuck that, right? Because if you want to win, fuck that. You can say the election was rigged. Did you want to win an election slam dunk? Then why didn't you arrest anyone? Why isn't Hillary in jail? Like that would, if everything that they alleged to be true was true and you put someone in jail for that, 100% of Americans would have to have voted for Donald Trump. And you want to talk about being unpatriotic? If you didn't, that would be unpatriotic if everything that was alleged to be true was in fact true. But none of it happened. Nothing happened, guys. And those nine things you listed about what Donald Trump's presidency was, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Those aren't things that he did. It's just things that he undid. And you're seeing a lot of it get put back in place today. So Tripoli says it all the time. Stop with the mental gymnastics. And if you are going to do that, go to the gym and stretch first, right? Because hopefully while you're sitting down on that mat stretching, something's going to come to you and be like, wait, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't add up. And if you can start there, right? Pick one thing. If you listen to the show and you're like 90% of it was bullshit, fine. That's fine. But take that 10% that you're like, there's something there, and go that way and dig into it. Cause it's going to take you to a different place. And is it going to be uncomfortable? Yes. Is it going to make you question a lot of things about this world and this reality? Yes. Is it going to make you question a lot of things about yourself? Yes. And that's okay. That's what we should be doing right now. That's what we need more of. These are the discussions we all need to start having. The uncomfortable ones, the scary ones, the ones that make you get the tingles, the ones that make you squirm in your chair, the ones that make you mad and want to do something. That's what we need to start doing. If we're going to sit here, look, I say it all the time, like, what can we do? Well, right now we're sitting here talking about it. And these are good discussions. The recycling of the same occult bullshit and conspiracy red pill crap that's out there. I'm tired of hearing about fucking Bill Gates. I'm tired of hearing about all that bullshit, right? Okay. We want to yell and scream about COVID. That's fine because there are some crazy tyrannical things going on out there right now. But guys, come on.
Get out of your comfort zone. That's how real changes are made.
Thank you. Thank you.
Look at us patting each other on the back.
I know. Seriously.
But no, you're 100% right, though, because people don't want to have that conversation.
They don't.
Same time, they don't even think that far. They're not curious. They're not asking the questions at all. When they see shit that's crazy, they, like you said, the mental gymnastics, how they justify all this bullshit and why, no, this is the way it is. It's fine. It's okay. It never is. Be curious. Ask questions. It's okay to go against the grain because, you know, going against the grain right now in this world's probably the better thing for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you think about what it is being human and living in America. And I know, I'm sure you have people that listen all over the world, but being born in America and you are bred to believe that we're living in the greatest place. And, you know, I believe that for a long time. And we are more free than a lot of places on earth. There's no doubt about that. But to believe that we have people in politics that give a shit about us is just you. It is complete 100% denial and delusion.
Well, politics is a cult. It's called statism. Yeah. And if you think that there's no such, in my mind, there's no such thing as a Republican or a Democrat, right? If you're a politician, you're in that clique, you guys play together and you do it all for yourselves, right?
Yes. So
if you ever, just ask yourself, has any time you went to the ballot box, has it changed? And like you go to the ballot box, you go home and you live your life then. Has anything about what you do inside your house or when you go to work or any of that changed because of that vote that you cast?
Yeah.
If you say yes, it's going to be a really hard stretch. Like you're reaching hard, right? Because we live in the same cyclical environment where it's the same stuff recycled, regurgitated, and given back to you again. It's the same stuff, guys. So if you think that no one can, there's no fucking president, congressperson, mayor, council person, any political judge, no one's going to save you. They don't care about you. They don't even know your name. And if they don't know your name, they're not there to do anything for you, guys. This is up to you. This is up to us. If you want to do something, you have to do it yourself.
Yeah, Shane, you say it all the time.
Yeah.
No one's going to save you. You have to save yourself. No one's going to help you. No one's throwing you a lifeline. No one's got their hand out there reaching to pull you up. You got to do it on your own. And you got to figure shit out on your own, which isn't easy, but it's got to be done.
Exactly. And I know I have people, I announce, you know, my kids are going to school in Iowa now. And people are like, oh, you're so lucky. It's like, I'm not lucky. I made this happen.
Yeah, did it.
When I found out in 2020 that they locked us down, like we knew this shit was fucked. So I'm like, okay, we need to start planning. I have kids. They have to go to school. Where are we going to go? And then that was like, that just sent us into this like exploration of, you know, where does this take our life? And everybody had the option to do that. Especially if you had kids, if you could see it back then, you had the foresight to see the future, which I did, thank God, for whatever reason I did, but I'm not lucky. I'm not lucky for that. It's like, I just decided to make a move. You have to do that in your life, like for yourself, for your family, whatever, like you have to take responsibility and make a move. And I'm not lucky for that. I'm just
being
proactive.
It's a hard pill for people to swallow because at that point you're just a victim of your own circumstance. And I'll repeat that again, your own circumstance that you created, that you put yourself to, right? And at the end of the day, anything that stops you from doing that, it's just, I said it already when I talked about us, like it's just excuses, right?
Yeah.
Like I understand there's a lot of tough and hard things that have happened to people in this world, to all of us. Mm-hmm. But again, at the end of the day, it's yours. It's yours, right?
Yeah.
So if you sit, like Amy gives her example of how I saw the writing on the wall and I did this, this, and this with my family, I know there's somebody listening who's going to say, well, I couldn't do that. And it's like, no, that you're right. You're right. As soon as you say that, you're right. You cannot do that. Until you change your mindset, until you change your circumstance, you're 100% right. You can't do that.
Okay. Right.
But until you sit there and say, okay, this is where I'm at. I've got myself here. These are the situation, the roadblocks, whatever the hell it is. Until you have that honest moment with yourself, you're never going to get past it. You're just going to sit there and you're going to blame everything else or everyone else or whatever else instead of looking in the mirror at yourself and being like, I'm here. How do I fix it? How do I get out? How do I make my life better?
Yeah. And we dealt with so much scrutiny. My entire family told us we were crazy. I was selfish for not putting my kids in a mask. I was selfish and crazy like for a year. Now they understand. It's taken them a while. And I think people are coming around. People are slowly being like, wow, okay, now I see why you did what you did. And it wasn't easy. Like, okay, what's so crazy about that is, we bought a house in February of 2020. We bought it thinking we were going to stay there, raise our kids and live our life in this house. Okay. And then a year later, we ended up selling it. We weren't even in this house for 9 months. So we bought this house, turned around and sold it. Like technically you're not even supposed to like sell a house until you've been there for at least 3 years because the value depreciates so much if you sell right away. But with the crazy market that it was, we ended up making money because everybody just started moving, and it was such a crazy whirlwind time. But, and I cannot even tell you the stress that it put on me, doing what I did. I was diagnosed with cancer, and I swear I was diagnosed months after this all started. And I think I made myself sick. I think I gave myself this melanoma. It came to the surface, and because I had been so stressed out in my life because of the state of the world and what we were doing, and I made myself sick, and now I'm okay. Go on record, I'm okay with the cancer and everything. I had surgery, and my life is much more simple now, but it was not easy. It was crazy, and I was called crazy, but it was the risk I was willing to take at the time.
Yeah. Well, why do you think it's true. The stress and everything. That's why people are sick right now. That's why it's so easy to spin that, to kick up and propagate and sustain this pandemic, is because the stress of it all makes people fucking sick.
Yes. It's your body. That's another part of it. Exactly. Exactly. So I don't know, to think that this isn't the biggest psyop on everybody. I mean, it's causing so much harm in so many realms of the world, and on health and education and kids and people's mental health. I mean, this has been the psyop of all psyops, the biggest scam in the world.
It is. And I think that I've said this many times, and I agree with you. I think the scariest part about it, though, is the velocity at which it's moving.
Yeah.
Everything's going very fast. And I think that's something we need to take more note of, because you spelled out everything that happened from JFK on to just to get Agenda 2030 put into place. And maybe it's just because we're closer to it, and the dominoes start to fall faster because all right. that work up front has been done. Or is it because us as people are just have become really docile sheep that just allow this to happen? I don't know. But I think it's important to note that, like, just look at what happened from March 13th, 2020 to where we are today. I'm 35. I can't think of anything that's moved that fast. Like 9/11 happened, and then the Patriot Act happened. I don't know that was more like, did that impact us on a day-to-day, how we live our life?
Setting up the stages.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm 35. Maybe there's somebody that's listening that's 60 or 70 or however old and has an example that's similar or better. But from March 2020 to where we are now, this is insane, guys. This is crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And it'll never be the same. Like, we will never go back. Yeah. Like, people say, like, oh, just like, I wish these people would just get vaccinated so we can get back to normal. It's not going back.
Yeah, right. And maybe that's it, though, right? Maybe it's just built this way to, like, eject or kick people like us out to go do our own thing so the system can just keep running how it does. I don't know. Maybe that's, like, part of the experience here. I don't know. But it appears, and maybe it's not, I don't know. It appears like more and more people are getting to that point.
Yeah.
But to me, then, that just means they're going to tighten the noose even more. And maybe that's why it moves so fast, because they know this too.
Yeah. And it's so confusing. Everything
they make it that way.
They make it so confusing for anybody, even if you're a critical thinker and, you know, question authority and question the status quo. It's hard to figure it out. Like, I don't have it all figured out. I'm just trying to connect the dots to have some sort of understanding of why this is happening and how it happened. Am I right? I don't know. My research tells me, like, wow, these people are all connected and this is happening. And now we're in this COVID pandemic, and they've been pushing FEMA since the 60s. And I don't know, maybe it's all coincidence, maybe not, but it's batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know this, Amy, there's no such thing as coincidence anymore. And there's no such thing.
I know. It's crazy.
Wow. Well, I hope everyone that listened, this helps you untangle a little bit of the mess or the web that's out there. I know it did for me. God, this was good. Always incredible when you come on. Your research is second to none. I think right now you and Allison McDowell are the two best out there. Your work is phenomenal. So
thank you. She's awesome. I love her research. She's on top of it.
So all I can say is thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful, as always.
Amy, well, love talking to you as always.
I know. I love talking to you guys.
What?
Thank you.
Thank you. And for before we jump, where can our listeners find your work?
I am on BitChute. Amy says WTF. That's where all my research videos are. That's where they will remain. And I am on Twitter and Instagram. Amy says WTF.
Yep. And she's throwing fire out there on Twitter. You got to check her out, man.
Thank you.
All right, guys.